that time of year again, that season when lights grow a little brighter and songs seem to be filled with a little more cheer. Tonight, we're here to celebrate the coming of the King, our Savior. We are honored that you've chosen to make this part of your Christmas celebration, and we're so glad you came. This is the season to rejoice. Every day of the year, we are thankful that Jesus came to us. But at Christmas, especially, the whole world stops and celebrates the miracle of his birth and the incredible mystery of God becoming flesh to dwell with us. But it wasn't just for the miracle that he came. He came because we needed hope. We needed redemption. We needed a Savior.
Until Yeah.
Many babies had become kings, but no king had ever become a baby. And this news truly had begun to change the world. From the brilliant star shining bright over the city of Bethlehem to the birth of a king in a lowly cattle stall, things were definitely different. This night had clearly been set aside as one that would be talked about through the ages. For on this night, God became man. Light pierced the darkness, and peace that all creation had longed for had finally come to earth.
That it would be like this, But as I look into redemption's eyes, I softly kiss your face and rock you in my arms while the angels sing a heavenly lullaby. Go to sleep, sweet baby boy, for it won't be long before you say the world. We're glad you came, we're glad you came. You could be anywhere tonight, a million scenes, a million sights. We're glad you came, so glad you came. We can say with certainty, this is where we're meant to be, and there will never be a moment quite the same. Glad you came.
I have anxiously awaited ever since I heard the news, and I can't believe you finally arrived. This is the greatest feeling that my heart has ever known. I can't wait to tell the world that you are mine. God is here. Love has come. Hope has been reborn for each and every one. Sides. We're glad you came, so glad you came. We can say with certainty, this is where you're meant to be, and there will never be a moment quite the same. We're glad you came.
And so it was that Mary and Joseph took their newborn baby, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. And all that came to see him marveled at the wonder of this newborn king. With all his majesty and splendor, though, he was, after all, a baby. His physical appearance was like any other. But with his very first breath on this side of heaven, hope became new, and God's promise was realized.
All creation stands.
Bethlehem seems so far away, doesn't it? The Nativity seems so long ago. And yet all around us, here and now, there are lessons to be learned from the Christmas story.
Standing on the corner of 19th Street and Grand Avenue, holding up a cardboard sign that says, "Anything helps, God bless you." She was gonna have a baby, but she's just a child herself, trying hard to fight back every tear, feeling older than her 16 years. It makes me think of Bethlehem and another teenage girl. Through what others saw as hopeless, God would change the world. It makes me think of love and a promise and the grace of a father who loves me as I am. When I think of Bethlehem, using the unlikely, God finds a way to make his mercies known. Maybe in a virgin girl, or a girl who's made mistakes and feels alone. It reminds me that I am the least of these. It makes me think of Bethlehem and another teenage girl. Through what others saw as hopeless, God would change the world. It makes me think of love and a promise and the grace of a father who loves me as I am. When I think of Bethlehem, what good is a child in a manger if he never comes in our hearts? Let's reach out to each friend and stranger with a love that will apart. It makes me think of Bethlehem and another teenage girl. Through what others saw as hopeless, God would change the world. It makes me think of love and a promise and the grace of a Father who loves me as I am. It makes me think of love and a promise and the grace of a Father who loves me as I am. When I think of Bethlehem, when I think of Bethlehem, when I think of Bethlehem, yeah.
Before the manger and the star, and the stable and the shepherds, the world was a much different place. If you had been following the light of the star that very first Christmas night, what would you have been taking as an offering? Would your hands have been filled with precious gold and priceless jewels? So often we look at the tangible things that serve as an example of the devotion and love that we have for our Savior. But no earthly treasure could ever come close to what the God of all creation deserves. Isn't it wonderful to know that these things we put so much emphasis on have no worth to the Lord? The greatest gift we could ever offer Him is a life that seeks to please Him and an undivided heart that follows desperately after our God.
Spinning, and then you came to us so fragile.
For many of us, hearing the story of the birth of Christ is something that we've grown accustomed to hearing every December. Angels appearing to shepherds, a star shining brightly over the stable, wise men coming from afar to bring gifts to the baby king. All have a common familiarity that we find comforting each year at Christmas. In fact, if we are not careful, the story of Jesus' birth and all that occurred can become just that, a story, one that has lost its full meaning and importance in our lives. Has this happened to you? Perhaps you are here tonight because this is what you do every year at Christmas. And every year, you leave comforted but unchanged. Is this the year you engage your heart with the very heart of God and lift up a prayer to Him that echoes the message we have heard tonight? Will you cry out to Him from where you are, in the midst of the circumstances and unexpected twists and turns that this past year has brought your way? Will you remember how He came to change the world by saving and changing you? Will you recall the moment you heard that first cry? Not the first cry of a baby in a manger, but the very voice of God as He called you to Himself. Or perhaps, at this moment of decking the halls and silent nights, you are hearing the voice of God for the very first time. Allow this night to be more than shepherds and wise men, cattle stalls and familiar carols, but choose to make this night the moment that everything became new for you, the night that the child in the manger became more than a familiar story or a picture on a greeting card, the night that the child in the manger became the Lord of your life and prompted an expression of gratitude to God for sending us a Savior.
Change the world. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. Special thanks to the choir and the orchestra and our conductors, Bobby, who conducts our orchestra, and Mike for our choir, and all the production people that have helped put this together. It's truly a gift for us to be able to gather on a night like this, isn't it? And I don't know how you came in today, maybe a little hurried, maybe a little frazzled, maybe you didn't get that Christmas gift that you were hoping for, was no longer on the shelf, or you're struggling with angst to figure out what is that special gift that I could give to that special person this year. It's Christmas time, and it's the season that we sometimes long for deep down inside. It's the time of the year that I look forward to, and especially around this cantata season, this is where everything becomes a little bit more real for me. Where the pace of life is kind of quickly shrinking into a time where I can focus on the real things. All the busyness, all the hecticness can just fade away. On my way here this afternoon, I drove by the mall and saw a lot of you there. I didn't go in. I just saw a lot of your cars. And I decided that maybe on Monday, when all of you are back at work, I'll go in and I'll grab all the gifts and we'll get that shopping done. But with this last weekend being the last really weekend of shopping, I know how busy everything was. Jesus came into this world for you and I. What barriers do you have with God this season? What has kept you from experiencing his real presence this year? What are the barriers that you've placed? You see, Jesus came into this world because God knew that we were a people that need to be redeemed. We were a people that needed to have a hope. And we were a people that needed salvation. He could have depended upon us. He could have made it difficult for us that we have to climb a certain ladder to get to him. But instead, he came to us. He removed all the barriers for you and I. And that's what this special season's all about. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And his son came into this world not with prestige, not with wealth, not with a certain seat of power, but he came lowly, humble, so that you and I could relate to him. So that you and I could also relate to the story of the fact that we're not perfect. And neither is necessarily the story of Mary and Joseph, or the wise men, or the shepherds, or all those that would come and see. But this baby was. He was perfect. Perfect in every way. He came into this world to show us of the Father's love. For you and I to have relationship with him. One of the things that I think is a barrier for a lot of us that is hard for us to even speak. And that's that this ongoing kind of loneliness that our world has in it. I was reading an article that 10 years ago only about 20% of Americans felt lonely. Last year when this article was written, it had grown to 10%, even more, 30%. The UCLA loneliness survey that goes out asks 20 questions, and it asks around the themes of loneliness. And there's this kind of undergirding kind of thing under all of us that wonders, are we good enough? Does God truly love us? Could I possibly be forgiven? Loneliness is something that continues to kind of eat away at us. If you've had a moment where you've had to be in a hospital for any given time and you recognize how quiet your walls are. If you've been a mom who's been on bed rest because you've expected a birth of a child, you know how long that can be at times. If you're someone who deals with chronic illness, you know how long the suffering is. And you feel so isolated and alone. In 2010, ARP came out with an understanding of a survey and found that one out of three adults over the age of 45 has this chronic feeling of loneliness. In a season that can be filled with so much joy, where we come into this place with just an expectation to be lifted up, did you experience Christ? Do you know that you're loved? Do you know that God would do anything for you? He's come into this place and he's overturned all the systems. He's broken all the laws so that for you and I, we can find this grace and this forgiveness and love. Jesus came for you and I. I was thinking about that in terms of all the things that you and I would want to offer to this God. And as we continue in our series and we end this tonight on our series about the apocalypse now, as we looked at end times and we looked at John's dreams and revelation, as God spoke into this expectation of things to come, as we're people not yet, but we're fully waiting for the Lord to show up. I love John's vision and dream as he speaks to the fact that he saw a huge crowd. All nations represented, all people groups represented, and in one unified voice, salvation has come from our God who sits on his throne and the Lamb. When was the last time you were with a crowd of people and they were saying the same thing? Maybe for you this Christmas season, you're dreading the conversation at the table. Dreading what will come up because there's not unification. There's not one voice. There's not one thought. And although some of us like to debate, you're just not ready for this debate. Hope for the kingdom to come is the fact that there's this one voice, this one group of people that have set their eyes on Jesus and they are ready to proclaim and praise him all the rest of their days for eternity. Some of you are just waiting for the line, the buffet line, all you can eat, I know. Others of you are maybe like Hollywood, thinking of putting on the wings and sitting on clouds and just kind of bouncing up and down, which might be fun for a day. But I think there's so much more to heaven that we don't even know. And it's not that it's not right to think about heaven yet. Certainly it is, but it's people living in between now. What is our calling? What is God's desire and calling for us? And what can we offer him? You heard that raised in the question in the anthem just a minute ago. If God came into this world to change the world, to change a heart, what was that all for? I think it was to help those that feel lonely in this world, that feel broken, who are sick. And if we don't speak that word as a church, then where will they hear a message of hope? Where will they know that this God has come for them? We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. And it's in our devotion and our love that we come to tonight that I ask you, are you ready to receive your King? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to bind up those places within you that feel like you're not good enough or worthy enough. He says, you are. I love you. You're my chosen people. Will you receive him? Will you receive his gift? Would you join me in a word of prayer? Gracious Lord, to you be the glory forever, Lord. To you and for you alone, I give you my life, Jesus. Thank you for coming down to share your Father's love with us, for me, and to open up all of heaven. Lord, I offer you nothing earthly from this world, but I give you my heart and I surrender my life to your will. Use me. I give you this. This is my prayer. Receive it. As we declare that tonight and make it our prayer, have a Merry Christmas, church. Merry Christmas, hope.